years. You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. We're so happy you're here. I'm Leanne Dolan. We're at the Wondery Sunset Studios in West Hollywood. I'm a writer and producer. I have a big dog and a pretty nice husband.
It's so enthusiastic. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm the middle sister. I'm here in the studio with Leanne. I'm an on-again, off-again corporate executive. I live in Santa Monica, California. I have a dog named Hooper, but, you know, sometimes I call him Hoopla just because it's fun to say. Hey, Hoopla.
Oh, hey, I'm Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister. I'm in Dallas, Texas right now, but I've lived and worked in a variety of places around the world. I'm an empty nester. I'm an urban nana with 5 grandchildren. And I got a new man in town that I'm going to tell you about today, sisters.
We're excited. Very excited. All right. We have a lot. We have crammed a lot in this show. We took a week off to enjoy Thanksgiving. So we had plenty of stories when we came back. So we're going to try to jam all this in one show. It's going to be
we'll
hard.
We'll see how that works.
Little update on our holiday travel. We have a lot of news.
Moose from Mars.
Moose from Mars. Yeah. News. I didn't want to blow Julie's news, so I just said news. Uh-huh. We have news from Mars. Let's see. We have a whole health, wellness, and fitness block that you're going to want to, you know, stay tuned for.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that there's news in this area because it just seems like they keep telling us the same thing all the time. But now all of a sudden they're not.
Mm.
So,
okay.
They
news.
Aren't. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. No. You know, it's tough to stick with your health, and fitness routine in December. We're going to try to help you out here. We have a whole entertaining sisters block of stories, things to read, things not to watch.
Right. I feel very strongly. I have a strong recommendation about something not to watch.
Okay. Okay. Those are usually your strongest recommendations, Julie. All right.
I've been working up a head of steam about this one.
And we have an important follow-up to one of the stories from the Holiday Food Extravaganza show.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to do that later. Do that later.
Oh, first, I just want to remind everyone, we have amazing new products in the Satellite Sisters shop. So if you have liked our Facebook page, joined our Facebook group, or follow us on Twitter, you've seen some of these things. But you asked for Operation Sea Turtle merch, and we delivered in time for Black Friday. Leanne was watching me like on my laptop, Julie, like the last minute on Wednesday, getting everything all lined up. It was pretty awesome.
I was concerned that she hadn't gone to the grocery store yet for any of the food needed for Thanksgiving.
Right. Leanne really wasn't concerned about Operation Sea Turtle t-shirts. She wanted to know about the turkey and the stuffing.
My son, Brooks, did earn his keep, though.
He did.
Doing a little work on the logo.
Yeah, so, he did some last-minute graphic design for me. He came downstairs Wednesday morning, Julie, and I'm like, hey, do you have Adobe Illustrator on your computer? And he's like, yeah, of course. I was like, could you do
that's
these?
Why you invite millennials to Thanksgiving, right? They're good for tech support and kitchen support.
Yeah. So you can get to our shop. If you go to satellitesisters.com, you'll see the picture of the three of us in our Stay Noisy t-shirts. It's up in the right-hand corner. You can click there. You can also find it from our Satellite Sisters Facebook page, not the group. So Operation Sea Turtle, Satellite Sisters logoed stuff, Urban Nana stuff, Stay Noisy stuff, Satellite Mister stuff. And special shout out today to Amy and Becca, who this morning in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group posted an adorable photo of them in their matching Satellite Sisters t-shirts at SeaWorld. So we love that.
Yes, hats off. Fantastic. Yeah. That's such a cute photo.
Stupendous. Yeah. Really stupendous.
So as you get your merch, if you want to share what you look like in your merch with us in the group, that would be awesome.
All right. First, we're going to start with a little Thanksgiving recap. We were together for the holidays. At least Liz and I were together with our sister Monica and our brother Dick, and we were all in Bend, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I took an extended vacation. We took 12 days up there.
Which is super rare, just yes. FYI, for those of you.
Right, for you and your husband.
Yes. You know, you'll feel better knowing we worked every day that we were there. Does that make you feel better? But there was a lot
I would
of...
expect nothing less.
But the big news is that we brought our dog, okay? Mm-hmm. This is the first vacation our dog has ever been on in her whole life, I'm sure. And if you're new to the show, I have a Steffi. She's a 100-pound German Shepherd. We rescued her 2 years ago from the German Shepherd Rescue in L.A., just about 2 years ago, Thanksgiving. She came from a shelter in Downey, California, and she was in bad shape. She had been abused as a puppy. She was really sick. She had pneumonia and giardia, and it took a while for her to get mm-hmm. comfortable with us, but she has a lot of anxiety when she's not with us or in the house.
Yes.
So we decided to take her because her regular dog sitter wasn't available. Long story short, she did great. I mean, have dog bed, we'll travel. She didn't know what was happening. This is when you wish you could talk to dogs. Like, just for 10 minutes and say, listen, we're going on vacation. It's going to be great. And then we'll be back. Just stick with us. She just got in that car. She didn't make one sound for 12 hours, 800 miles.
That's unusual because she enjoys barking. Wouldn't you say that's one of her big hobbies?
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't go in the car much, though, because, yeah, she does. She's a German Shepherd. That's not a hobby, Julie. It's a job for a German Shepherd. Just want to be clear.
Okay.
For other dogs, it's a hobby. For German Shepherds, it's their existence. So, and then, I mean, Bend is a great town for dogs. She loved it. Anywhere we put that dog bed down, she was like, do we live here now? Is this where we live? Because we stayed at Liz's house for like 5 days. Then we stayed at a rental house for 4 more days. Then we went back to Liz's house and she's like, is this where we live now? Do we live here now? Do we live? Is this? And people liked her. There's no dog bias in Bend.
No.
She's a big dog. People don't care. They don't make fun of her like they do here because she's so big. Well, whatever. And she just, there was only one walk we took where I think she was overwhelmed by nature. That was, there was like trees on one side, a river on the other. That was too much for her to handle.
Too much.
It was too much.
She needed some sidewalks, some cement.
If we just stuck to the sidewalk, she loved it. She loved the noise. She loved it. So she loved the cold weather. She had tons of energy. So she was fantastic to take on vacation. Thank you for asking, people. And I mean, we had a nice Thanksgiving, but the dog was fantastic.
Well, I'll do a little bit of the Thanksgiving recap then. So at my bungalow in Bend, Oregon, we were having 15 people. So it was me and Monica, Leon and her whole crew, our brother Dick and his crew, and our cousin Mara, who was visiting with her husband and 3 kids. So it was a good group of cousins and siblings that are not normally together in that particular configuration.
Yes.
So that made it super nice. Leon totally took over the tablescaping, Julie. You will be relieved
to
know. Relieved to know that. So there were some photos posted of that, but that went great. I had some rental tables and chairs. I feel like we really pulled it off. Everybody got their assignments of like what our brother Dick made the turkey and brought it over. Like Monica was in charge of salad and stuffing. Mara did her thing. Anything in the gluten-free category, our cousin Mara was working on. Anyway.
And they live in Europe, so signing them wine and chocolate was also a stroke of genius.
Yes.
Because it was really good French wine and really good Swiss chocolate. So I recommend having Europeans at your Thanksgiving.
Oh, so noted.
But one of the best parts, Julie, is, I mentioned that I was going to do just a backup turkey. That Dick had the assignment for the main turkey, but I would cook a backup turkey because the the day after you need the leftovers. And he was going to take he was going to take his turkey home at the end of the night. So I did the spatchcocked turkey on the grill, and I got to say, super easy, super delicious. And I would recommend it. I mean, my turkey was only 11 pounds. So
did you spatchcock it, Liz? Or was it?
No.
Okay.
I called.
Because I sent you photos the morning of Thanksgiving of a spatchcock turkey. So just in case you were trying to achieve that. Yeah.
No.
And then you did it on the grill. Ooh, nice.
I did it on the grill, which was really nice. So then that's the backup turkey we had for the next night, which I just wanted to mention briefly that, our so-called leftovers night. Actually, there was a lot of brand new food for leftovers night. Monica made a whole new batch of stuffing and a fresh salad. Leon, you had already made a backup pate. So
I had extra pate and I had kept behind some of the creamed onions because I didn't want to be shut out. I wanted creamed onions the next day.
That's generous on Thanksgiving to hold back your food.
Yep,
Lynn. I like
it is.
That.
Yep.
So on Friday night, we basically had the exact same dinner we had Thursday night, but with none of the table decorations.
Yeah.
Right. Just like all of the fancy stuff was gone, and now we're just eating stuff randomly.
It was great.
It was
fun.
Really good. It was super fun. And the other smart decision that we made as a group is we had dinner at my place, but our brother Dick lives a short distance away from me. He lives in Bend full time. So we walked over there after dinner and had pie and coffee and live music from our nephew Leo for after dinner. It was just the perfect way to spend the evening after you've had the big, late afternoon dinner.
Right.
So a winner for scheduling wise.
Yes. It was a really fun Thanksgiving, Liz. Thank you for hosting. It was nice to just be a guest at Thanksgiving. It's been a long time since I've been a guest at
Thanksgiving. You've usually been in the kitchen the whole time.
I enjoyed it.
Well, we had a smaller gathering here in Dallas, so it was just the Dallas-based family, which was fine. And I'm happy to say we did it at my son's house. And I'm kind of sorry that I wasn't hosting it, but at the same time, I'm like secretly pleased that my adult son wants to have Thanksgiving in his own house because it's an important tradition and holiday for him. So that's good. I feel like he got the Dolan Thanksgiving gene, that this is a good holiday and it's worth it to decorate and get dressed up and to cook a big meal and do that. So I'm also sorry, sisters, you weren't there because I did achieve stuffing perfection Thanksgiving 2018.
Really?
I make a white bread sausage and herb dressing. This is the same one our mom always made.
Right.
But this year it was the peak combination, the savory, the crunch, the moisture. I had it all. I may never be able to achieve a stuffing as delicious as that. Mm. So I'm sorry. You'll just I'll try 2019. But, I'm happy. That's certainly one of my life's accomplishments. Perfect stuffing.
That's good. Course, good for you. Congratulations.
The big news for us is we had a special dinner guest arriving for the Thanksgiving weekend. It was Dick and Doll Oliver Twist, who is our new 5-month-old black lab puppy.
Yay! Wait, what was that name?
His name is Oliver, okay?
All right.
But his official fancy name is Dick and Doll Oliver Twist, which I think is kind of cute. So, and we named him Oliver because it's really the first rule of grandparenting, which is grandchildren are irresistible. And it was my granddaughter Alice thought of the name. She said, I think we should name the dog Oliver. And we said, okay, that's it. That was our big thinking about that. But as some of the longtime listeners know, I used to have a big black lab, Zorro. He was a prince of a dog, and he died a year and a half ago. And it's just taken me a really long time to get over Zorro and not feeling right that I wanted another dog. And we just, my husband and I felt like the right dog would come into our lives. We didn't know what that meant or how it would happen. But we just felt that. But we knew we were getting close because we're big walkers and we were outside walking and we're constantly going up to other people's dogs and petting them. And we knew we just needed a dog. And actually, the farm where Zorro came from, they had contacted me and said, I have a puppy. And I didn't really want a puppy. But then we met Oliver, and now I want Oliver. So he joined our family and he's great. He spent the holiday weekend. Now, he did attend a puppy camp because I'm older and wiser, and I just thought that was a good idea. So my husband and I really spent the holiday weekend reinforcing Oliver's training. And so here's how it would work. I would reinforce the commands to sit and stay and heel. And then my husband would walk alongside me and he'd reinforce the commands on me.
Yeah. So, good.
So, that went well. So at one point I told them if he gave me one more command, I was going to have to bite him because it was just, I think We really want this to go well. And we know that this is, having had dogs before, you know what it is. It's a slippery slope. If you don't enforce the command or the obedience training, it will fade away. So at least for week one, it seems like it's all going well. The only issue we have is poor little Oliver. He does a little crying in his bed at night. He does a little barking and crying. And once again, what the puppy camp says is, you don't go in right away because that reinforces the crying and the barking. You're supposed to let them settle down before you go in so they don't see a connection. But, it's hard for me as Urban Nana because I'm used to babies and, you want to go in and pick up the baby or, get the bottle or walk the baby. So you can't really do that with a puppy, right? There's really nothing to do. So we've had a couple of nights, but I am very confident that, Oliver's going to settle in. And things are going to go well. The last thing I'll say is one of the key relationships we're working on is, Urban Nana does. I do a lot of dog sitting for my son's pound puppy Lily.
Yes.
And so we wanted to make sure we introduced Lily slowly on neutral ground to Oliver, and then in our backyard, and then on Thanksgiving Day, we brought Oliver over to Lily's house, and it went. Okay.
Only okay.
Okay. I'm not, that's what I'd say. And I understand Lily's point of view. Like, she didn't ask for this new kid. Right. Yeah. She doesn't want any part of him. And she doesn't want this dog in her house that she earned and that she, and all of that. So we're just taking that relationship slowly.
Puppies have a different energy, too, for older dogs. I've noticed that. But
Julie, congratulations.
Okay. That's a big thing to take on. It'll be great to have a new dog. I'm just actually right now Googling Black Lab puppies. I don't know what Oliver looks like, but in general, Black Lab puppies are very cute. So
yes, they are. They're adorable. I'll post a picture, no doubt. But there is some other breaking puppy news, as long as we're talking about that. I want to bring to your attention a new book out that you might want to get for the holiday season. That, of course, is His Royal Dogness, Guy the Beagle, The Remarkable True Story of Meghan Markle's Rescue Dog.
Oh, my God.
This is a beautifully illustrated book. I think appropriate for all ages. I mean, you don't, for any royal watcher, I'm sure you would want this book in your collection. And it's just out for the holiday season. So be sure to pick that up. His Royal Dogness, Guy the Beagle. That is one lucky dog.
There were some cute pictures of Guy the Beagle on the wedding day. Remember?
Right. He was in the car with the queen. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And then finally, just some doggy diplomacy. I wanted to bring to your attention that this past year, a dog that Kim Jong-un of North Korea gave to the South Korean president as a peace gift recently had 6 puppies in South Korea. So isn't that exciting? And this dog was given. Yes, it is.
Is it? Okay.
I am as hopeful that these puppies can achieve sort of nuclear disarmament as I am any negotiations or talks we have underway. Okay. These are adorable puppies. You can look them up. They are white Pungsan dogs. And this dog is apparently the natural monument animal of North Korea. I have no idea what that phrase means.
I was going to say, what the heck does that mean?
I'm just going to say it again. The natural monument animal of North Korea. These white Pungsan dogs. But now there's 6 more puppies. I mean, these are amazing dogs, and I think puppies will bring world peace. Okay?
Wow.
Okay. They have as good a shot as anyone else. That's your point. I agree. Leanne just showed me a picture of those dogs. Those are cute dogs. Hey, later on, coming up in the Entertaining Sister segment, we have more dog stuff.
Wow.
Excellent dog TV recommendation from Allison in the Facebook group. So thank you, Allison. We took your recommendation. More on that later in the show.
All right.
We did want to cover some news. I know we have a lot of turkeys and
puppies,
and entertainment coming up. But for me, the big news was the Mars landing yesterday. It's just I just cannot get enough of that stuff. You know, you just watch all those scientists at work. So I got home from Oregon on Saturday night. But Sunday afternoon, they were doing a live panel from JPL that you could watch online. And so you see all the scientists talking about the work. There's so many years go into what they do. And then, of course, yesterday, there was the live landing. So I really just want to shout out to those people who you have to have such an imagination to be able to do what they do. I mean, I know on the one hand, they're super nerds, right? They're math nerds, but they're math nerds with this sense of vision for like what could be possible. And that guy, Rob Manning, who often does some of the commentary for NASA TV, if you're hooked the way I am, he used an example yesterday. I think this was him. He said, landing one of these things on Mars is like doing a Broadway musical if you've never had a chance to put the sets and the songs and the people and the staging all together in one place at one time until opening night. He said that's what it's really like. There's no rehearsal. There's right. no, you can't, right. like, obviously they can run some simulations on things, but it's either going to work or it's not. And so that's why I think the drama, when you watch them all there lined up at their little stations and their matching shirts and everything, they really, really don't know if it's going to work. So,
and they've had some failures, right,
yes,
Liz?
Yes.
They've only been successful, what, 40% of the time landing on Mars.
Because the other thing they constantly say, Julie, in all of these videos and all these live forums is that this is really hard. You know, you get used to seeing it work and you think, okay, by now they have it done. But obviously it doesn't take much for the whole thing to go wildly wrong. So there were a couple of special things I liked about this particular, the InSight lander. The first is it was clearly a multi-generational success story. So the guy who's like the main guy in charge, his name is Bruce Bannert. And so, like, he's the big boss and he's running the lander and everything to do with it. But he mentioned that he started at JPL as an intern in 1976. Like, he was a college intern. And he's been there.
That's a long time ago.
That's a long time. Yes, I know, because I was in college in 1976. So I know that's a super long time ago. So now he's the big boss. But then at the other end of the spectrum are the younger team, what they called the early career teams, which I thought was a very clever way of just referring to the youngins. They had some of these early career people working on this thing they've never had before. Did you hear them talking about the Marcos? The Marcos are the Mars Cube 1 satellites. So basically, they had two experimental satellites that were tracking InSight's progress, and they had never had that before. But the Marcos were put together by, like, the interns.
Right.
They just said, okay, well, you know, give it a go. So this Andy Klesch was responsible for, these are early career people at JPL, but he was saying that they had interns, actual interns from Morehouse State, Michigan, and San Luis Obispo actually working on these little satellites that went all the way to Mars. And that's why we were getting all the telemetry live from the InSight lander as it was going down, because these satellites were relaying those things. And so I just love the fact that you've got, like, the hardcore, been there since 1976 crew, and yay for them. And then you've got the early career people who, by the way, had their own shirts. This is another thing I love about this. It's a TV event, because the JPL people are all in the, like, the burgundy shirts with the badges
right.
that
uh-huh.
say InSight. Well, the Marco team, they're in the black shirts with their own Marco badges. So love them. Loved everything about what was happening there yesterday. And I think about, like, when we were kids, Julie, we would see a lot of these moon missions or other missions to space. But you would just see all of these white men in white shirts at their place, right? And now you don't see that. You see just much more of a mix of people. And I find that very uplifting, too, to see all the different kinds of people that are involved in space travel.
I'm thinking about all those kids at the Robotics World Championships.
Oh, yeah.
I bet some of them worked on that. I know a couple of kids from my son's high school, which is right next to the Jet Propulsion Lab. They went on to intern at JPL and have been there. You're like, that's who those nerds are. They're the ones that were at the robotics competition, and now they're doing this. It's fantastic.
And you're not spending the summer stapling, apparently, the way most interns are at most offices. You're actually working on a little experimental satellite that made it all the way to Mars. Here's another thing I learned yesterday. InSight is what they call a backronym, which I had never heard that phrase before. But a backronym is an acronym that you back into because you have a cool name. They wanted to call it InSight. So then they had to figure out, okay, what does InSight stand for?
Oh!
Yeah. They have all these people explaining everything on the TV coverage. So
Backronyms.
Yeah. InSight stands for Interior Exploration Using Seismology, Geodosity, and Heat Transport.
Okay.
So that's... So I thought, what is geodesy? Like, I don't even know what that word means. And so FYI, geodesy is the branch of math dealing with the shape and area of the Earth, its orientation in space, and gravity field.
Oh.
So there you go. You learned something today. I learned it yesterday.
Just aren't you just really glad? Doesn't it take us out of your day-to-day stuff when you could look at, you know, read and watch about this news story?
Yes.
It was really the feel-good story of the day yesterday, no doubt about it.
You know, Julie, it just makes me feel like we really can do anything if we just work together. I mean, we really can, you know, climate change. We could do something about that if we decide to work together. You know, some of these diseases that we're still trying to get rid of, we could really do that if we decide to work together. So to me, that's what's so exciting. It's like you have video of this successful thing that shows just the scales, the heights we can reach if we all decide, okay, let's all join in and do this together. So that's what I loved about it. Oh, but Julie, one last thing, and then I'll stop talking about this. You can go watch the videos. Mm-hmm. You know, your husband is a geologist. So you may or may not know that the key part of this InSight mission is that it will deploy its heat probe. It's a self-hammering 16-inch nail that will burrow down as deep as 16 feet over the course of several weeks. So they're going to put this heat probe into the Mars interior. So it will reveal the amount of heat-producing radioactive elements it contains and how geologically active the planet is today. So there you go. Like, for your geology types.
I know. We love it. Put that. I know. That's a drill bit. Put it down there. Good. Okay.
Because they say they know Mars quakes exist, and they just want to figure out what's really happening with these Mars quakes. Anyway, there you go.
It is great. I'm looking at the first photos now. It's just freaky that it's Mars, because Mars is a really long way away.
Yeah. 300 million miles, Leanne. That's how far away it is.
Yep.
They made it. Okay. Congrats, everyone over there at Caltech JPL.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you are going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
Okay, Liz, we are moving on to our health and wellness block, and I want to talk to you both about something you should be doing this holiday season, and it's called fitness snacking.
Wow, that sounds like something I could do.
That sounds good. I went in on that. Sign me up for that class.
Now, it's not what sometimes I occasionally do when I'm working out in my home. I go get a snack in the middle of my fitness section. It's not that, Liz.
I was hoping that's what it was.
Okay, but it's something you can do over the course of the busy holiday season. We have 6 weeks to just not gain a ton of weight, right?
Yeah.
And not lose any ground on our operation
seat.
Exactly,
yeah. Just try to stay even.
That's the goal. So, you know, we're supposed to get 150 minutes of exercise a week, but it is possible to do fitness snacking, to do 3 10-minute blocks over the course of your day. It can be just as effective in helping you lose weight,
Wait, Leanne.
Yes.
Leanne, there's no eating involved in
no,
fitness snacking.
No, sorry, Joel.
Is that what you're
there's
saying?
There's no snacks at all?
No, it's just small fitness bursts before each meal. That could be the most effective way to do this, okay? So that's it. It's just 10 minutes of exercise can also improve your brain's memory and function, also important over the holidays.
Okay.
So if you feel like you can't get a workout in, you can get these fitness snacks in, okay? So it's okay snacking, and that's the thing. So the two keys are just to keep moving for 10 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
So it's a high-energy snack. So whether that's a really good walk or you want to do squats or some sort of dance move, you can do that. Turn on like a
just
couple.
Turn on the music.
3 Prince songs, you're good.
Yeah.
Fitness snack. There you go. Okay? You're good. You're good. So fitness snacking. Think about it over the holidays. I just thought it was a funny phrase that will stick in your mind. I'm going to do some fitness snacking. There you go, Liz.
Okay. Now, if you needed any more motivation, I've got it. And this is, again, more science. This was a headline in the New York Times last week. Regular exercise may keep your body 30 years younger. Okay? 30 years. That's a lot, people. Like, so I thought, what is that about? And it's a study.
How does that even work?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
The muscles of older men and women who have exercised for decades are indistinguishable in many ways from those of healthy 25-year-olds, according to an uplifting new study. So here's what they did.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I say every day when I put on my skirt. Indistinguishable. Yeah, sure. Sure.
Well, here's what they wanted to study, Julie, and they didn't expect to get this result. They were kind of thinking, well, you know, there was this exercise boom in the 70s. Remember? It's when everyone started running. It's when aerobics started.
Tennis. Like,
yeah. So there were a lot of people that started exercising when they were young in the 70s who were like septuagenarians now. So they thought, let's see if that really did them any good. So they recruited some of these 70-somethings who had like been exercising since the 70s, and they compared them to young people, 20-somethings. And they thought that the young people would have more robust muscles and aerobic capacities, while the lifelong exercisers would be weaker on both counts. This is not true.
Wow.
Instead, the muscles of the older exercisers resembled those of the young people, with as many capillaries and enzymes as theirs, and far more than in the muscles of the sedentary elderly. So there you go. They said that the active elderly group did have lower aerobic capacity than the young people. Oh, that's okay. But their capacities were about 40% higher than those of their inactive peers. So if you didn't keep it up the whole 30 years, well, I'm not sure if there's necessarily
fitness snacking, Liz. Fitness snacking.
When did they tag on this extra 30 years? That may or may not be to your advantage. Does that mean you're going to be like 110?
They're not saying you're going to live 30 years younger, 30 years longer. They're saying your muscles are as healthy and your cardiovascular system is as healthy as someone 30 years younger than you. In fact, when the researchers compared the active older people's aerobic capacities to those of the established data about normal capacities, they calculated that the aged active group had the cardiovascular health of people 30 years younger than themselves.
That's fantastic.
So just putting it out there, it's the reason when I post the Operation Sea Turtle update every Saturday in the Facebook group, I personally try to focus on the activity side of it, rather than, say, calorie counting, just because I find for me, the more active I am, the more everything else falls into place. So, yay. Okay, so that's good. Well, I'll have a link to that in the show notes. 30 years, people, that is nothing to snack at. Then there was another big study that came out, and this I'm just going to touch on briefly because, once again, they're telling us everything is the opposite of what they thought it was. This is the low-carb diet is back, right? You've all known that. Julie, yes. You said you were trying the keto, right?
Right. I'm on a low-carb diet. Yeah. That works the best for me. Yeah.
So there's this giant new study that came out, and I will put the link in the show notes, that shows that the popular advice on weight loss promoted by health authorities, basically the idea that when it comes to weight loss, all calories are created equal, that is not true, apparently, after all these years. So the idea that just counting calories, reducing portion sizes, and lowering your fat intake, could be outdated. And the study confirms that, remarkably, diets higher in starch and sugar change the body's burn rate after weight loss, lowering your metabolism. Isn't that all we've ever wanted?
I mean, yes.
To know, like, how do we increase our metabolism versus lowering it? So, and then this one last thing I just want to mention here. They said that in this study, they found that based on what you were eating, so if you were eating the carbs, they said at a certain point, your bodies are just trying to regain the weight.
Okay. I felt that. I literally felt that.
Here's the note I put myself on this. You are not imagining it, is all I want to say about that. That the that they put them on strict diets, they lowered their body weight by about 12%, and then the moment they do that, your body is just trying to gain the weight. So that's why if you go the other way, that is not going to happen. You're actually maintaining a higher metabolism. So there you go. Hmm. I don't know. I'm going to have to try this over the holidays. I think the low carb way. So now that my mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving are in my past, moving into low carb for the holidays.
Right. I don't know. Still sad about toast. Still can't have toast.
I know. What are we going to do about that? Not to mention cottage cheese and a few other good things.
Or cinnamon buns.
Oh, yeah. We have to do the follow up on the cinnamon buns now. Now, on our holiday show, we asked you for your favorite food traditions, and we read something from Nicole, who said she was under the impression that cinnamon buns and chili was a thing, something they always had in her home on Christmas Eve. And then when she went out in the real world and left her home, she found out that people ate cornbread with chili. And she really hadn't gotten over it. And I thought that was very funny. So I read that. Well, Nicole, I know that you feel better because Becca posted and then the floodgates opened. Cinnamon
yes,
buns
did.
And chili are a thing. Now, not a thing across the country, but a thing in certain parts of the country. Becca wrote, just listening to the holiday food episode and have to chime in from Nebraska to say chili and cinnamon rolls are a Nebraska staple. I'm sorry the word hasn't spread to the sisterhood, but it's a delicious combo. So Nicole was certainly duped with this as a special holiday food because it ain't fancy, Nicole. Here in Nebraska, it is regularly served as part of the school lunch program.
Wow.
Bing, bing, bing. And that
that is a thing if it's in the school lunch program.
That triggered so many people in the Satellite Sisterhood who said, oh, yes, we used to have that for school lunches, too. And they remember it fondly as a snow day treat of chili and homemade cinnamon rolls. We heard from North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Kansas, Oregon, Wyoming, Wisconsin, and Tennessee all saying, yes, this was a fantastic school lunch treat.
Uh-huh.
Is that the craziest thing you've ever heard?
That's crazy. No, I had never heard of it. And now I realize like most of the country has been doing it.
And it also says to me, like, people love those school lunches. Many people said the only time I ever got the hot lunches was when it was chili and cinnamon buns. Because let's be honest, who doesn't love cinnamon buns? Nobody doesn't like cinnamon buns.
You learn something new every day on this show, don't you? Right?
So it is a thing. We didn't know. It was not a thing where we grew up. We had mock pizzas. That was our school lunch thing.
Oh, I love those on English muffins. Yeah.
Which they were not.
That's
pizzas.
A whole other show.
It's a whole
other
show.
We can't talk about that now. Yeah.
All right. But then as one little coda here, Denise wrote in Minneapolis, our junior high would serve chow mein and cinnamon rolls. Homemade. One of our favorite lunches.
Wow.
Okay. That's not a thing. Denise, I'm sorry.
Well, we might be about to find out that that's a thing too.
Okay. I mean that. Either chow mein and cinnamon rolls are together. I can't believe that. But all right, thank you. That was a fun show to do, and we appreciated the conversation on the Facebook page there.
Now you're going to teach us how to manage our energy over the holiday, Liam. This is another thing we've been thinking about.
Oh, we're not eating. Apparently, we're not eating, and we're just
snacking.
So we're exercising three times a day, and we're just trying to keep our lives in order, get through the holidays.
Well, the New York Times had a piece about saying no over the holidays, and it had some legitimate strategies in the piece, but also some funny ones. It was a combination thing, but it really made me think about what our personal strategies were, because invitations do come in. There are obligations. There are things you know you should go to, things you want to go to, things you don't want to go to at all, but you're going to have to go to.
Some of those, yes.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo,
you can
literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAT Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SAT Sisters for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free-for-a-year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
And a lot of people discuss how no is the most powerful word of saving your energy and self-care, and no is a complete sentence. You don't have to over-explain. But who amongst us can actually just go, could you want to come to this? No. I mean, no one says that.
My holiday party? No.
No. No, thanks.
I like holiday parties.
You know what, Julie? Let's talk about our personal strategies because I appreciate being invited to parties and places.
Uh-huh.
I host a lot of events. So when someone actually like sends me an invitation, I really try to make my best effort to go. Mm-hmm. You know, even if the night of the event, you're always thinking, oh, okay, we got to get to this.
You always think that. I do anyway. You're always like, I know I'm going to regret this. And then you go and you enjoy it.
You go and you're out and it's part of the season. And so if people genuinely send me an invitation, I genuinely try to make an effort to go. And when I go, I try to, you know, be a good guest.
Try to eat the cookies?
I might not eat the cookies, but I will try to be a good guest. What do you do, Liz? You're a yes person.
I'm usually a yes person. I like to go because it's one of the few times you can catch up with a lot of people that you don't see in the course of a busy year. Right. And the other night, I invited a whole bunch of my neighbors over Sunday night because there was a new neighbor who moved in next door to me, but we hadn't all like met him when he moved in September. And so I had a bunch of my neighbors over on Sunday night. And, you know, it's pretty easy to do. And it was really fun. We had a great time.
See, that's the rub. Sometimes it's really fun. Julie, are you a yes person or a no person?
I am a yes person. I quite frankly, I don't get invited to that many
right, me neither.
Parties.
Yeah.
That it's a problem. But so far, yes, I can say yes to it. But I would say my overall theme for this year is I'm calling this my containment Christmas, okay? Because I just think there are so many distractions that it's really easy to get away from trying to have the kind of holiday you really want to have. And what I mean by that is, you know, okay, take gift giving. Like for my grandchildren, I've decided they're all getting experiential gifts. So not as many toys, but they're going to be some special, you know, experience for each one of them, with the exception of Evelyn, because she's only 7 months, so she gets a toy. But But every day in my email, there's, you know, I get all these ads like, oh, 20% off this, 20. And, you know, it's easy to fall back to thinking, oh, well, I could just get one more little stocking stuffer, you know, and things can escalate very quickly. The same is true in terms of gift giving to your neighbors or to your friends. Where do you draw the line? And, you know, or how about decorations? How elaborate are you going to do? I think you have to be I am trying very hard this season to be very deliberate and purposeful and try to be generous to people who have less than me and try to make the gifts that I'm giving be very meaningful so that the meaning of Christmas or holidays would come true.
Well, good luck with the puppy. Yeah.
I've already gotten him a stocking. Okay. And it's like every day things from Amazon are arriving for him. So he gets whatever he wants, Oliver.
All right. Well, I want to tell you what the New York Times strategies for saying no were. And just, you know, some were funny. Like, be honest. Just say, I really need a night in tonight.
Oh, I would not recommend that.
Would you ever try that?
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Can't you, if you don't want to go, you just say, oh, I'm already booked that night.
Well, lying, Liz. I'm not a liar. I have a hard time lying. I feel like I get caught in lies. Oh, you okay. Be vague. This I can
okay.
Do.
Vague. That's good. Yeah.
This sounds so fun, but I need to work on some stuff.
That seems like a lie too, Liam.
Yeah. Well, I've used that for the last 3 months though, because that's true. I have been working on stuff, and stuff I just can't commit to. Like, it's too much to like. So I just say, I'm working on stuff. You can just straight up ghost. Say, I'm going to go. And then don't
That's
go.
The worst.
That's
I do not
worst.
Believe
that
in that.
Terrible. Don't do that.
Yeah. And then this one made me laugh. Just make it their problem. Like, oh my gosh. You know, I'd rather just talk to you about my problems instead of coming to your party.
Oh, how awful.
And that is not the spirit of the holidays. No. But I mean, you should try to help other people too, if they're feeling blue.
Yeah. And then finally,
not everybody's in the mood to be in a social situation.
Yes. And then finally just panic and mania, just start freaking out. And then maybe they'll uninvite you. That's the strategy of last resort.
Anyway. I just think I'm a big believer in not over explaining. If it's not something you want to go to or can go to, you don't need to explain the whole reason why. So that's why when I say I'm already booked, I might be booked because I'm going to stay home and watch TV that night. Okay. You know, but,
right,
which in my mind is a booking.
Okay.
But I almost always say yes.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless it's a Wednesday night in Los Angeles traffic on the other side of town.
Right.
And then it's like, sorry, I do not own a helicopter.
It's always a no. All right. Moving on. Entertaining sisters. Julie, what do you got?
Well, the first thing I have is a book recommendation for you. Over the holiday weekend, I had a chance to read Becoming by Michelle Obama.
Oh, great. How was that?
Great.
Okay, so first of all, you should read it, okay? I just can't think of anyone who wouldn't want to read this. And here's what I found so interesting about the book. I think we all have a sense of her public persona. You know, she is certainly one of the most famous people in the world. And over the course of her time as First Lady, we saw her a lot. We heard her, and she's given, great speeches and she's great in public. But what I loved about this book is it's really a chance for me or for you to sit down with her. You know, I mean, it's very one-on-one because it is a much more personal book about Michelle Obama. She is the focus of it. It's not about her famous husband. It's about her. And what I loved about it is clearly she is an extraordinary woman. She is living an extraordinary life. But I came to know her better through some, what I can only describe as sort of ordinary or more common or everyday experiences, which made it very relatable. I mean, for example, she wrote how when she was in elementary school that she lived, her house was close to the school. So she and a pack of girlfriends used to always come home for lunch and her mother would be in the kitchen making sandwiches and all the girls would be there just talking and eating, and how great it was for her mother to be, to have that little perspective, to be in on what her daughter was doing. I mean, I love that.
Oh, that's so nice.
Or I loved how she stood up to her college counselor who said, hey, you know, no way you can go to Princeton. You just, you know, that's really, you know, and she just decided she really wanted to do that, you know, that was, and she did it. I love that she wrote later on about the resentment she felt trying to work full time, raise two girls, and Barack Obama was always late for dinner. Okay. And, you know,
yeah,
yes, you can relate.
I know,
to
I know.
That, right.
I
mean, that is like, or, you know, you wrote about the heartbreak of her miscarriage, you know, or just because she did struggle to get pregnant, that sense of protection that she had about the about her daughters. So there's, I mean, those are just some of them, but I just found it so much more satisfying even than I thought it was going to be. But I've decided, like, this is the best thing, even better than seeing her in person. I liked being alone with her, reading her book, because I thought there were so many great vignettes in there. There's some wonderful stories, funny stuff with her and the Queen. I mean, you name it. And the other thing that's very fun about this book is you can read it front to back, or you can read it back to front, as far as I'm concerned, you know, because you know Michelle, so you could just dip in at any chapter and there's something interesting and revealing and personal. And that really surprised me. And so it was thoroughly enjoyable and I would recommend it to anyone.
Okay, that's great. I was thinking of downloading the audiobook because I always like listening to these memoirs by women when you hear it in their own voice. But it sounds like you read the, you know, the paper book and also you could hear her voice.
Yes, I'm very, very strong. I mean, you know, that her presence really comes through. And there is, I mean, there's been a lot of headlines about certain aspects of the book, but it was more of these very relatable experiences all the way through. Obviously, you know, her life in the White House or being, you know, the first lady, very different, but you still could just sense, you know, how, you know, her strong sense of herself as an individual, as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, as a citizen, all these things counted so much to her. So
that's great.
It's a good one. Okay.
So
okay,
that's your yes,
one. But I
you
got
also
a bad one.
Yeah. Okay.
I've got a bad recommendation for you. It was based on a recommendation that I got over the holidays. Is that, oh, you got to watch on Netflix The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. I don't know. Have you heard about this?
Yes. This is the Coen Brothers thing.
This is the Coen Brothers. It's a movie. It's an anthology film comprised of six stories about the West. So uh-huh. I like Westerns. So I thought this was a great idea. The Coen Brothers wrote and directed it. It's got all kinds of stars in it. Tim Blake Nelson, Liam Neeson, James Franco, Tom Waits, Zoe Kazan, Tyne Daly, you name it. Okay. All right. It is so violent and so dark. And
oh, really?
So
oh.
Twisted. Okay. So the good news is the vignettes are short. Okay. So there is a lot of, you know, from the get-go, there's a lot of violence. And I'm like, okay, well, the first one was terrible. Let's do the second one. The equally is violent, dark, and twisted. So then I'm getting mad. So then I watched the third vignette, and it was the same kind of twisted, bizarre, I'm out. So I only did three of the six. Two thumbs down on this. I cannot recommend it. And I'm sort of like, really? Really? That's what I have to say to the Coen Brothers and the Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Okay.
Fantastic.
I am not tempted to watch that at all now. Mm. Okay. Thank you for saving me some hours of my life.
And then we had Poldark, the season finale for this season. Julie, I was just able to catch up this morning before I came into the studio. I was able to watch the last episode where a lot happened.
Yes, I know. Now, this is spoiler alert because
right.
we are going to talk about the finale. But I firmly believe this is such an excellent season that even if you know or even if we reveal the ending, you should watch the whole thing to see how it plays out. Right.
I just like that.
I like that it started with like ghosts from the past. I like that all those old people, all those old characters showed up. I was happy to see them. I thought this was a pretty satisfying season finale. So, yes, I wouldn't say the whole season was great.
The flashback in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, and with the very telling line, it will always be Ross. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it ended with a conclusion of a giant story arc. Elizabeth, who loves Ross and is willing to die for him, right, Liam?
Yes, that's true.
And in order, but here's the story, Liz, that in order to secure the birthright and stability of her love child with Ross, mm-hmm. this little boy, Valentine, who is the spitting image of Ross, but Elizabeth has told her sniveling husband, George, that indeed it's George's child. But Elizabeth goes to the worst doctor on earth, right, Liam? Mm-hmm. That doctor could not have been worse. He gives her some mold of rye potion to induce labor at 8 months. Then this is in order to reinforce the lie that she has been telling George that she always gives birth at 8 months because Valentine was conceived before George, I guess, was involved. So there, but Elizabeth dies in childbirth as a result of this terrible potion she's taken. Oh. But the child is alive. But she has given it all for Ross, right? Yes. I found it very satisfying. Later.
Yes, I did too. I was glad she's out of this picture. I mean, you know, in a believable way. Some of these storylines we need to move on. I could have done without the lingering close up of George at the end of the finale. I thought this does not bode well for next season. We're going to have more George, but all right. Got it. But yeah, there were some great bits. So I'll try to get some notes up on the website. I'm behind because I was in Oregon and the cable was out.
Yes.
So frankly, I'm behind on my viewing of many things. So I just watched it this morning without taking any notes. But we'll start a thread over in the Facebook group. And Liz, you wanted to recommend something? One last recommendation
I wanted to pass along. It was posted in the Facebook group by Allison. And thank you, Allison. And this is to watch the show Dogs on Netflix. So obviously we love dogs. And I felt like I had watched every possible kind of show about dogs ever. You know, all those years I worked at National Geographic, we had like the history of dogs and how wolves became dogs and, you know, dogs of the world, a lot of dog documentaries. This is very, very different. And it's beautiful because it's just very personal stories of individuals and their dogs. So it's as much about the people as it is about the dog, but it's what an important part of the person's life the dog is. And so thank you, Allison, for that recommendation. I really loved it. The first episode is on service dogs for kids with all kinds of needs. And it's super moving. It's this girl, Corinne, who is epileptic, and she gets a service dog named Rory. And it's how the whole family adjusts to having Rory help care for Corinne. And one of the things that her mom said is, I think it was her mom, and who said, I want her to be the kid with the dog, not the kid with the problem. So, because when she first brings Rory into school, everyone's like, oh, now you're cool. Now you're. And that just really struck me. It's a beautiful story. But it also made me think so much of our satellite sister, Betsy, and her son, Henry, and Henry's service dog, Scout. And Betsy, because we're Facebook friends, I know you and Henry and the whole family has been really going through a hard time over the holiday that Henry's been in and out of the hospital. And Lee, and you've met Henry and Scout, right?
Yes, they came to Betsy organized our meetup in Austin, Texas a couple of years ago, and Henry was there with his service dog, Scout.
Yeah. So I think when you watch this first episode, you really begin to appreciate what a role these very special dogs play in the lives of these very special kids. So pass that along. And the other episodes are great, too. I'm not all the way through, but I'm about halfway through. One last thing. Today is what they call Giving Tuesday. So if you want to be generous to charities you love, that's good. And we did get two excellent emails at sisters@satellitesisters.com where we're getting gifts. So obviously, these two people felt like they wanted to tell the Satellite Sisters how much they loved us. The first one says, Dear Owner, I'm John. Okay, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
Dear Owner, I'm John F. Kelly, White House Chief of Staff. I'm contacting you regarding Unclaimed Fund. The Executive Office of the President of the United States recently became aware of your Unclaimed Fund in the amount of $7,500,000.
Wow.
So
thank you.
John Kelly is sending us $7.5 million. By the way, John Kelly's email address, if you want to respond to this and get your money, it's kelljohn48@gmail.com. So again, probably not a government email. But then I was thinking, okay, maybe that's not real. But then we got another one, and it's from Mr. Warren Edward Buffett, a philanthropist and founder of the Mr. Warren Edward Buffett Family Foundation. He wants to give us $5 million. So, but he also, his email address is Mr. W. Edward Buffett, spelled incorrectly, 2@gmail.com. So anyway, we could have a windfall here of the $7,500,000 and the $5 million, or maybe not. But that's just so far today on Giving Tuesday.
All right. Well, let's hope. Let's hope. We have our to-do list, but first we want to thank our sponsors for this week's show. We want to thank Green Chef, Brooklinen, Harry's, and Salsa Basket. Thanks for supporting Satellite Sisters, and thanks to everybody who supports our sponsors. It's a great circle of support we have here at Satellite Sisters. We appreciate it. We'd like to thank Sergio Enriquez for engineering this show and doing a lot of great work for us over the holidays. We appreciate that. On our to-do list this week, I need to watch 2 episodes of Madam Secretary because Julie and I are taping the recap tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a little behind, but it's coming, the Madam Secretary recap. So that's what I'm on my immediate to-do list. Julie, how about you?
I'm heading to Brooklyn for an Urban Nana assignment, and I'm very grateful to Karen's post on our Facebook page because I'm getting some excellent suggestions on shoes, Urban Nana shoes from Jean, Janice, Jennifer, and Ellen. So if you need some high activity shoes, go check these out at the Facebook group.
And Liz, how about you?
Well, I was at physical therapy yesterday, sisters, for that weak right butt cheek situation I have. So here's my therapy for this week is walking backwards. That
you might need some shoes for that, too.
I know, some kind of guardrails or something, Julie. Because I am firing my hamstrings instead of my glutes, I have to practice walking backwards. And it's so funny because there's an older couple I see every morning in my neighborhood. When I'm out walking Hooper, they're walking together and one of them is always walking backwards. And then they swap. And it makes me laugh every time I see it. But now I'm going to be one of those people. I don't know how I'm going to do that all by myself.
I don't know how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And what will Hoopla, a.k.a. Hooper, think?
I don't think he's a service dog quality guide in this situation. And my physical therapist taught me how to do it on a treadmill.
I was going to say, I feel like for you, safety first, and the treadmill may be the way to go.
She said, just go super slow on the treadmill.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see about that. I'll report back next week on how the walking backwards goes.
Fitness snacking, Liz. do some fitness snacking. Fitness snacking on that treadmill.
It's all so complicated to remember it all.
All right. Thanks to everyone for listening to Satellite Sisters. And thanks to everyone who likes to share the sisters. We appreciate all of your reviews on any podcast platform you listen to or sharing it with your family and friends. You know, you can actually just take their phone and just sign them up right away. Subscribe. That's one way to do it. Mm-hmm. It's a good holiday activity when you're at a party that you don't want to be at. That's what you can just
you
hide
can't
in the
think
corner.
Of anything to talk about. Just get people's phones and subscribe them. The Satellite Sister. Excellent idea, Liam.
All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.